The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. Imagine in the first reading, when the apostles preached about Christ to all the different Jewish people of different languages, and then thousands were baptized, and they had to go to different countries where they were living. Most probably, that's the last time some of them heard about Jesus and continued being a Christian without receiving the other sacraments, because the church was at its beginning. They were able to hear about Jesus, gave themselves to Jesus. There were no books, there were no Bibles. They just went home to whatever far country they lived and stayed a Christian without the other sacraments. That's how the early church happened. Why am I saying this? Because that is what I see now with regards to the other Christian denominations or Protestants. They are no less Christian than us, just because they don't have the sacraments, but they receive Christ just like us. Whether they like it or not, they belong to the one church, because there can be no other churches. There can be small community of Christians, but there is only one body, no? Of course, sadly, even though they call themselves Christians, maybe because of ignorance or maybe because they were taught by their own preachers, they accuse us to be non-Christians. Before, they used the word Protestants. Now they assume to call themselves simply Christians. They are no longer Protestants, according to them. And we are no longer Christians, we are simply Catholics. It's sad because now they're trying to reverse and insist that they are the true church, even though we have been in existence from the beginning, and our proof is what? Apostolic succession. We started with Christ, who made Simon Petrus. Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never overcome it. to the proof of our existence as the first and only church of Christ is the apostolic succession. And of course, through the apostles, the rest of the sacraments that Christ gave us were given, of course, to those who are near. They were able to receive the other sacraments, but to those who are far away, they were not. I'm just going back. So even though our beloved Christian brethren, non-Catholic Christians, even though they do not have the rest of the sacraments, we do not belittle them, even though they belittle us, even though they will accuse us of adding. That is how they do it. It's like children telling the parents that they know better. That's how they are. Their existence is what? Obviously younger than our church. And sad to say, their preachers are no better than them as far as ignorance is concerned. They just open the Bible, read the Bible, and then, okay, God sent me to preach to you. But we know, ever since, you have to be what? Ordained. Look at St. Paul. They laid their hands on him, laying of hands. That's the first symbol of ordination. How many of you have seen ordinations? Huh? How many of you have seen ordinations? Essential to the ordination rite is when the bishop, together with the priest, but most of all the bishop, lay our hands on the deacon so that he can become priest. You cannot simply say, yeah, okay, you're a priest now. Oi! That's what's happening now with regards to the online preachers. You just apply online and then you become a bishop. Have you seen that? And online, my goodness, there are so many crazy things happening now in the internet. Instant preachers, instant bishops. Just take a 6-hour course and then you become a bishop. You don't do that. No, you cannot simply presume. Whose authority are you seeking? I cannot be a bishop even though I want to. I have no authority on my own to make myself a bishop. There is always a connection with other bishops who are connected with the Pope. And that's the problem. This idea of church, yes, one community, but sad to say, different belief. At first, the church gathered together seldom to correct wrong ideas, to preserve the unity of the church when some great heresy comes. The church gathers together and say, this is wrong. The first great heresy and the first great gathering of the church was in Nicaea. And they were fighting among themselves, whether or not what? That now we presume it is true. We don't ask even questions about it because it was established before. Christ is true God and true man. Now we take it for granted. But in the Council of Nicaea, the church had this divided division that the bishops were going against each other physically. Some of them even died. What is the truth? See, that's the problem. The church will always be what? Tempted by lies. There will always be lies, half-truths that will be inserted among God's people. And what do? We protect the unity of the church, because how can there be one church if there are too much confusion? That's why we have the words dogmas. See, the Protestants, sad to say, don't think that there should be dogmas. And what's happening? Because of that, each church, sad to say, are so individualistic that they can believe in anything and everything and end up with nothing. So instead of seven sacraments, they only have one. Even though biblically, what? Remember this, huh? Because they will try to confuse you. Biblically, the seven sacraments are in the Bible. But since they don't want any connection to the Pope, they will deny the rest of the sacraments, like, for example, the Mass. Should they accept the Mass, even though it's clear? They cannot. Because to accept the Mass, they have to accept what? Priests. And to accept the priest, they have to accept who? Bishop and the Pope. And that's why they cannot accept it. Because they only want, okay, guys, we love Jesus. Let's get some grape and wine, or grapes or bread. And then all together, let us say, take this, all of you, and eat it. All of a sudden, they think it becomes the body of Christ. That's what's happening now. In some born again, in some Pentecostal church, they don't need the priest. They just say all together, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. See, that's the problem. They took away the priest, they took away the apostles, they took away the Pope. So my dear friends, please, we love them, we are no better than them, but they do not know everything, even though they pretend to know a lot. They simply memorize the Bible and then fit it according to their interpretation. Remember, huh? I am not belittling them. I am just stating the fact that what we have, we are blessed. From seven sacraments that we have to one sacrament. My goodness, if you cannot even think that we are more blessed for having seven, for them, many of them are just happy having one and are happy just having half of what we have. Do you know that, right? In every Mass, we have two parts. What is this? The liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. For them, this is what they have, which I will not belittle, because it is also important. But the sad part is, they will preach everything and anything except what God really wanted them to have. So even though I may be a boring priest, you always what? Will get something out of it. If anybody here says, I did not get anything from the Mass, then you are what? Ignorant. You always get something out of the Mass, which is the most important. the Eucharist. And like them, the preacher should be what? Exciting. The choir should be, wow, well rehearsed. And they have to feel good. Because that's the only thing they have. Feel good. But actually, we actually have the source of all goodness, the Eucharist. Remember, only one church, only one body, different parts, and sad to say, not all parts are what? Working together. Some parts of the church, of the one church, are functioning minimally because they only have one sacrament. How about us? We have seven sacraments. Are we holier because we have more graces that we can receive? Are we becoming more like Jesus because we are able to receive the Eucharist, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of the priesthood and everything else? Are we doing our best to become more like Him? What is our excuse? What is our excuse for not becoming more like Jesus? Unlike them, they have, sad to say, ignorant preachers. They have limited sacraments. How about us? What is your excuse for not doing the will of God constantly, consistently? Again, all because we are still selfish and not truly Christ-centered. So, my dear friends, we are thankful for God for calling us to be His family, for calling us to belong to His church, to the one church. Let us now ask God to help us to become good, holy, alive, active church members. Coming to church on Sundays is good, but that's not enough. We have today the All Ministry Fair. We need you to be active. Be, what is ministry? Service. So coming to church is wonderful, but if God gave you the time, the talent to be involved in making this church more alive, do something about it. Some of you still continue to always complain and do nothing. What should I tell you? Shut up.